Welcome to Everyday English with Erica and Elizabeth, the podcast series that explores how native speakers use English in everyday settings.
Welcome to another episode of Everyday English with me, Elizabeth.
And me, Erica.
Today we're going to talk about storytelling. By stories, we mean little narratives, accounts of something that has happened to us that we want to communicate to somebody else. So, for example, maybe you went to Africa and you met some interesting animals there, a giraffe or an elephant that caught your attention, and you want to tell your friends about this. Or maybe something very amusing happened in the office yesterday and you'd like to tell your family about it. Or maybe something from the past that really stays with you and you want to share with a new acquaintance. So Erica, when do we tell stories?
Well, Elizabeth, that's a good question. Actually, we tell stories without even realizing it all the time. We tell stories when we're getting to know someone, or to develop existing relationships. People will also create stories around their products for selling or about their companies. Elizabeth, just what is a story?
Well, a story is, as I said, a narrative, an account. So it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And these are connected together. So unlike a conversation where we might say, how are you? I'm fine. What are you doing today? Where are you going for lunch? These are just questions, they're not connected in any way, really. But a story is a little unit on its own. It's something that we want to communicate. For example, a story can be very short, one-liner story. They met on the train one morning, fell in love, and never again parted.
Wow, that's a lot of information in a few words.
That's the story. The beginning is they were both on the train and they met each other. And the implication is they didn't know each other before. The middle bit of the story is they fell in love. And the end is that they stayed together for the rest of their lives, with the implication that they were happy and it was a good relationship. So we tell stories to interest, to amuse, to inform somebody. So why are they important, do you think, Erica? Why do you think stories are important to us?
Elizabeth, storytelling is a very natural way of communicating in all cultures. We all grow up listening to and telling stories. It's a part of our human experience and goes back to the beginning of humanity. Stories engage people and relate experience in a personalized and structured way. They keep people's attention and create a common ground. It's a way to reconnect with friends, family, work colleagues and associates.
Yes, that's right. Storytelling is very important for building and maintaining relationships. So now we're going to hear a story from one of your clients, Erica, is that right?
Yes, that's right. I interviewed Shirley and she has a very interesting and amusing story to tell with a definite lesson learned at the end. Well, welcome, Shirley. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Erica. I'm very honored to be on this podcast.
Shirley, can you tell us a little something about yourself?
Sure. My name is Shirley. I'm a software engineer in California. I was born and raised in China, and then I moved to US for my graduate study and stay here for work after graduation. English is a critical component for my daily work and life, and it is actually challenging because its vocabulary and grammar are completely different from my mother tongue. I have been working with Erica on improving my English for almost a year, and it has been tremendously helpful, not only for my English proficiency, but also my understanding of American culture.
Well, great. Thanks for that background information, Shirley. Let's get started talking about storytelling. Shirley, can you tell us when you use storytelling?
All the time. At work, I use storytelling to add color to my reports and presentations. For example, I use it to describe problem context, to share motivating anecdotes, and to explain ideas with vivid examples. Outside of work, I also use storytelling a lot to share my experiences and to connect with people.
Wow, that's great. So you use storytelling quite a bit. Shirley, would you tell our listeners one of your stories?
Sure. Erica, you know how I love skiing these days, right?
Yeah, right.
But did I ever tell you about my first skiing experience?
No.
It was back in 2013 when I was still at school, and a friend of mine at school, let's call him Mike, organized a ski trip to Tahoe. And he told me that I should go since Tahoe is one of the best places on earth for skiing. I was quite hesitant because I had never skied before. Mike, who grew up skiing in Colorado, told us learning skiing is very easy and that he could teach us.
Wonderful.
So I was convinced and joined the trip along with six other friends who also had zero experience like me. Everything was going well when we got to the ski resort and Mike led us to the rental shop. But after we all got our gear, you're not going to believe this, but Mike disappeared.
You're kidding.
No. And disappear with him was another pretty girl in our group. Later, we found out that he was actually chasing after that girl, and he was giving her a private skiing lesson somewhere in the back of the mountain. But at that moment, we couldn't find him, so the rest of us were left to fend ourselves.
Well, what did you do then?
Well, I somehow decided to be the first person among our group to try skiing. The young me at that time could be foolishly brave sometimes. The first thing to skiing is, of course, stepping on the skis. I very naturally put on the skis with toes pointing downhill, the same way I put on my shoes when I leave home. The moment I stepped on the skis, though, I skied out instantly, even without a chance to say goodbye to my friends. I was perfectly facing downhill, and the gravity made me faster and faster. With absolutely no idea how to stop or turn, I quickly became the fastest person on the run. And the only thing I could do was yell, "Get away!" and barely avoid hitting little children on my way. In the end, I hit the boundary at the bottom of the run and dragged several fencing poles with me, which finally made me stop.
What a disaster. Were you hurt?
No. Luckily, the snow was soft, so I didn't get hurt. Anyway, this trip was the most awful experience I had ever had with any sports, and it made me fearful of snow sports for almost 10 years, until this year, when I started all over again, and I actually fell in love with skiing. I will save the falling in love story for the next time.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. So did you learn any lessons from this experience?
Never trust anyone called Mike. Just kidding. First, be prepared. Don't just foolishly rely on anyone. Do your own homework. And second, things don't just stay the same. Give yourself a second chance. You may find things that you used to hate actually pleasant when you try it again with a fresh perspective.
Wow, that's great. It definitely makes sense. Well, thank you so much, Shirley, for telling us that story. I'm interested to know, do you prepare your stories before telling them?
Yes, especially at work. I will write down my stories to make sure that I use the appropriate vocabulary and grammar. I will also practice how I deliver my stories by recording myself and doing dry runs with my family and friends.
That's excellent practice. Wow. What do you find challenging about telling a story in English?
I think the most challenging parts of telling a story in English are vocabulary and verb tense. To make a story vivid and attractive, we often need to have a good knowledge of vocabulary, especially verbs and adjectives, so that we can use both accurate and diverse words to describe the story. Also, most of the stories in English are in the past tense. This is particularly challenging for me personally, because there is no past tense in my mother tongue.
Yes, there's quite a difference between Mandarin and English. So what advice, Shirley, would you give our listeners about storytelling?
First, learn storytelling techniques, such as how to structure a story, what are the frequently used key phrases, what are the common topics, Erica has a very good lesson on this. I would highly recommend it. Good talk shows and novels can also let you observe how storytelling experts do this. Second, prepare your own stories on various topics in advance. Write down your stories, polish, and practice a few times until you feel confident.
Wow, that's great advice, Shirley. Thanks so much for joining us today in Everyday English with Erica and Elizabeth.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So that was a really nice story there that Shirley told us. And she talked quite a bit about preparing and practicing her stories, Erica. So do you think that's a good idea for our clients?
I would say definitely, especially in a professional setting. It's a good idea to think about the story that you want to tell, decide what the basic story is and the background, where did the story take place, talk about the characters, who will be the focus of your story, and decide what the main point is, what is the climax of the story. And then at the conclusion, how are you going to end your story? And finally, why are you telling this story? Is it to help people with a lesson that you learned? For example, in Shirley's story, she talks about the lesson that she learned from her skiing experience.
And of course, I if you have another example, I might tell a story of something that happened to me yesterday. Oh, did I tell you what I did yesterday?
No, you didn't. What did you do?
Well, it was pouring with rain and I ended up going to the museum to see their new exhibition just to get out of the rain. But the exhibition was really good and really interesting. It was about dinosaurs and really fabulous information and wonderful models. So you must really go and see it, Erica, if you have the chance.
Sounds really interesting. And I'm sure that T-Rex draws a lot of attention.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yes, yes. So that is just a little story that I'm telling, told Erica, about my little adventure. And it was a little unexpected adventure yesterday. I felt it would interest her to know this. To return to Shirley's story, what was the main point of the story? What was the basic story there, do you think?
Well, the basic story was talking about actually a scary experience for Shirley, which is funny now to listen to the story. But at that time, it was a frightening experience for her. And the fact that she did not want to go skiing anymore after that. So she tried something. It didn't turn out right, and she was afraid to try it again for about 10 years. But the basic lesson learned, the reason why she's telling this story, is to encourage us to try again. And there's a very well-known idiomatic expression in English, and that's if at first you don't succeed, try again.
And what were these stages? You know, how did she start her story? What was the middle and how did it end?
Well, she gave us the setting and the background, talking about skiing at Lake Tahoe. She gave us some characters, herself, her friends, and Mike, of course. Then the main point of her story, the climax, was that she ended up skiing off down the hill without knowing how to stop because she hadn't had any skiing lessons, right? And then she moved on to the conclusion, saying that she ended up falling down and taking part of the fence with her, fortunately not hurting herself. And then finally, why did she tell this story? Well, first of all, it's amusing. It makes people laugh. And then secondly, to encourage people not to give up.
And I found it quite interesting. I thought there's another story there, the story of Mike and the girl he went off with. But she didn't tell us any more about that story.
Right.
That was a little subplot in the story.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Elizabeth, what are the cultural aspects of storytelling? What makes for a good story?
Well, again, knowing who you're talking to and what might interest them, that is something they can relate to in some way, something that is not totally strange or alien to their experience. It might be if you are talking to somebody totally new, it might be something about the work you both share. It might be something about an eating experience, if you know that the person goes to restaurants. if the person never visits restaurants, it might be a little bit uninteresting for them. So it does depend a little bit. But like for the culture I come from, the Irish culture, we're great storytellers. We tend to ramble in our stories. We kind of go around the houses. That's a good English idiomatic expression, to go around the houses.
So Elizabeth, I have to just interrupt you there. What about Blarney? Can you explain what Blarney Rock is and Blarney?
Well, Blarney is a place in the south of Ireland, and there is a rock called the Blarney Stone. And the tradition is, or the folklore is, that if you kiss the Blarney Stone, you will be able to talk the hind legs off a horse, we say. You can talk a great deal and tell great stories.
So, Elizabeth, I've heard that you have to bend over backwards when you do that.
Oh, yes, just to make it more interesting. So storytelling for our clients, storytelling is interesting, or is a good idea, is that it will help a great deal with your English, because you have to have a good grasp of vocabulary and how to use it and when to use it. And also it's, a story can be a long account, it can be short, it can be about any topic. So you have to be quite versatile in your use of the language. So it's a good ability to acquire. Eric, are there any little phrases or anything that can help when storytelling?
Elizabeth, it's good to know some phrases. For example, when you told me your story about the museum, you started off with saying, did I tell you about what I did yesterday? Or if something happened at the office, you could say, did you hear about? Or to talk about a common experience, do you remember the time we... Sometimes somebody says something that triggers a memory. So you could use, I remember when, or that reminds me of the time. So those are some good expressions to use when you're beginning a story.
And yes, of course, and they also tell the listener that you're about to tell a story. It's like they prepare them. Oh, a story is coming now. I must listen.
Exactly, right. And then there are some great expressions to show interest. Somebody's telling you the story, and then you can encourage them to continue by saying what happened. Or if something surprising happens, you could say you're kidding. Or for example, when Shirley skied into the fence, you could say, oh, how awful. Were you okay? Or if something nice happens, how wonderful.
By using these expressions, you engage in a dialogue with the person. It becomes an exchange rather than just one person telling a story, the other person listening. There's an involvement on both sides.
I mean, otherwise it becomes a monologue, which is okay. For example, if you're giving a presentation and you want to tell a little anecdote, a short, funny story to help lighten up the atmosphere, then of course you're not expecting the other person to give you any feedback or show interest with an expression. But if you're telling somebody, face to face the story, then you want to have an exchange.
Exactly. And if the person doesn't respond, you think, oh, my story must have been very boring.
Right. Yeah. So, Elizabeth, as we can see, storytelling is really an important part of our lives, whether it's about a work situation or a social situation. We do use storytelling quite a bit.
Exactly. And also when learning a language, our clients can think about practicing a little bit and developing that ability, because it just doesn't happen. You actually have to practice a little bit, try telling stories. How will I start the story? What am I trying to say? How am I going to finish the story? So it's a good idea to practice a little. So hopefully from our little talk, our listeners will be inspired to practice some storytelling and to tell stories in English, of course.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Well, that's just about all we have time for today. What's coming up in our next episode?
Well, in our next episode, we're going to continue by looking at idioms. Idioms are very common in any language, and particularly in English, but they can be quite difficult to understand at times. For instance, one like a penny for your thoughts, or don't beat about the bush. Have you got an idiom? Erica?
Yes. So one that I teach my clients often is clear as mud. So something is clear as mud, or to play it by ear.
Okay, so we will continue exploring some of these idioms in the next episode of Everyday English. So for now, it's goodbye from me, Elizabeth.
And goodbye from me, Erica.